This is a reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Now every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of this. Assuming that he was in the group of travellers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in divine and human favour. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Love this reading this morning. What was just missed out at the start, well, it wasn't missed out, it's just before the reading, is there's this beautiful line in verse 40 of Luke's Gospel, and it says, "And the child grew and became strong, and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him." And then at the final part of that gospel reading that wasn't in the reading this morning, it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with humanity." Love that sort of bookends of that passage, that this one who we remember at this time coming in humility as a babe now actually grows like each of us. And actually grew, and there's this reminder there that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. And we're called to grow as well, and often as we come to the end of a calendar year, we sort of think about, well, what do we want to grow in? What would growth look like? Is it to grow in popularity, in appearance, in status, in wealth and possessions, and take your pick? But we are also called to grow in stature and in wisdom. And that's what Paul picks up on in the letter, the epistle reading to the church in Colossae that matches today's gospel reading. And he is reminding us that, remember, Paul starts off his mission statement. He says this is what he's given to as a disciple of Jesus, called to make other disciples of Jesus. He said earlier in the letter that, it's to what end does he toil and strive? To present others mature in Christ, that they would grow up to become more and more like Jesus. So for us as disciples of Jesus, we are called to grow in wisdom and stature and to help others grow in wisdom and stature. And so Paul then, in this part of the letter, he's actually telling us, well, what does it look like for us to grow up and to be mature? See, anyone can grow old. That's not hard, is it? That happens. That's we feel the effects of that. That happens. But what is it to actively want to grow in the likeness of Jesus? And Paul gives us, he actually narrows it down pretty simply. For a start, he says, well, put on. He uses a clothing imagery, a daily thing, right? Something to put on, intentionally do each day, sometimes multiple times. He says, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything in perfect harmony. It's fascinating, isn't it, that reading that comes on this fifth day of Christmas when we've just contemplated God coming in human flesh, what he clothes himself in. And what more, if it's not the condescension, that the humility of Jesus who leaves glory and wealth and honor and all that inheritance and comes down in or with a compassionate heart. Compassion means to suffer with. Compassion, to suffer with. Jesus does that. Clothes himself in kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Isn't it great to know the patience of Jesus toward the disciples and to you and me? Awesome. But above these, put on love, which binds everything in perfect harmony. These are the themes, what we look at when we behold Jesus coming to us. He's saying, make it our goal to grow in wisdom and stature by daily putting on these things. And isn't it interesting, when I was looking and thinking about this in terms of growing, this isn't normally a list of things that you might be writing down if you're sort of a resolution type person. But isn't it interesting that even this list, it's not even primarily about an individual. It's about individuals living in community. So what Paul is calling us to in response is to grow in ways that affect living in relationship with others and with God. We grow not just as individuals, but as a community, as a body, as a living temple, as a family. That's what we're to grow in. So here's the question we sit with. Well, how do we do this? How do we do that? One, it's a daily task, the clothing imagery. But actually, as I sat and looked in this text, and I encourage you in the time to spend some time with it over the course of the week, I thought it was really interesting that he says, above all of those things, put on love. And if you take a look at the text, he's going to repeat something three times on either side. So if love is the center, he's on this side of it, he is saying, actually, put on forgiveness. And on this side, three times, put on thankfulness. So with forgiveness and thankfulness, either side can grow in love for one another. So notice, just read that so we can see it. Bear with one another and forgive one another. It can be hard sometimes, doesn't it? My wife has to bear with me. She's made a covenant to do so. God bless her. The family as well. But we do that out of a covenant, a surety and love. Bear with one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Simple thing that when we start the day, when we're thinking about clothing ourselves. The question, am I waking up with any resentment? Am I waking up with any unforgiveness in my heart? To perhaps toward God, toward someone else, toward myself. Start that day. And the basis of that forgiveness is coming back and remembering how much God has shown us forgiveness. That's the starting point, isn't it? Jesus says to those who have been forgiven much, there's a correlation in how much they love, isn't it? And so that idea, the starting point is a focus on the day to grow in wisdom and stature is to recognize the enormity of God's mercy and forgiveness, and out of that, to forgive to others and to test, is there anyone this morning or this evening that I'm living reconciled to? Here's a practical part. Forgiveness can be hard. It can be an incredible process, and it takes time. We grow in that and our ability as well. If you wake up in the morning or get to the bed at night and you're struggling to forgive someone, you don't have the strength for it, pray for God to give you that strength to forgive. And try again. See if God answers that prayer. God, I'm struggling with this. Please, out of your great mercy, would you transform my heart, enable it within me and what I don't have for myself, enable that to offer for someone else. And pray until God answers that prayer. That's one side, the repetition of forgiveness as part of growing in wisdom and stature toward love. The second, but he continues on. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Three times repetition of forgiveness, three times repetition of thankfulness, culminating in the outworking of love. Hear God's word in your life, and may God's word prevail over the other competing words, and give thanks. Recognize the reality of God's presence with us, all that Jesus would give up to come, to pursue us, to bring us life. Whatever we do, do it with thanksgiving. I was struck this week. I saw a little clip that had sort of gone viral. I think it went from last year. And it was a little clip of a little boy over in the UK. And he was being picked up from school by his mum. And he was in the back seat. His name was Milo. And I think about Milo, I think it's apt. I think about your morning Milo. So I want you to remember your morning Milo as you clothe and grow in wisdom and stature. And this mum turned around to Milo and she was asking him about the nativity play that he was going to be in. And Milo looks and goes, I got a classic part, Mom. A classic part. She says, are you a shepherd? No. Ah, are you one of the wise men? No. You're a classic part. What are you? I'm door opener number 3. What will you be doing? Well, I'll be holding doors. Who for? Well, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, I suppose. He's got this beaming joy in his face, little Milo. And she says, well, how did you feel when you were given that part? And Milo looked at her, and he looks up and he says, yeah, I was excited. I was like, get in there. Yeah, let's get it. Opening doors for Jesus. Whatever you do, do it as though for the Lord with thankfulness. Go home, look at the clip. I wish I could have set it up there at Christmas. But your daily Milo, thanksgiving, waking up with the gift of life, with the gift of participating in this extraordinary work of God in the world and being thankful. And that's Paul's message to us today. Just as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, so are we called to grow in wisdom and stature. And that means clothing us above all things, those the pictures of humility and meekness and patience and costly love that we see in Jesus, clothed fully in love, which can be found, I think, if we have daily practices of forgiveness and thankfulness. It's the final little part to this that I'll share because I think it's really important. We saw in that message this morning from the Gospel that Jesus knew who his Heavenly Father was. And he knew the presence of God, didn't he? And that's that key. If we know who we are and know whose we are, we know what story we're a part of. We know which character fits the story we're a part of. And this is what Paul, in this section, he says, therefore, God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. That is who you are. You are God's people. You're chosen for God's love, chosen for God's purposes, chosen for God's work in the world, and you are dearly, dearly beloved. Christmas reveals that. Easter reveals the fullness of it, with the power of God within you. So as Jesus did, may we know the love of God the Father. May we grow in wisdom, in stature, and in love. Amen. I'm going to give you a couple of moments just to sit with that. Let the Spirit speak to you. Bring anything to light. How will you respond in that daily task? And we'll respond then in prayer.